All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one who reconciled us through his death, delivered us from this wicked world that we might forsake it and all its vile things and set our eyes towards heaven and to the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon us. We just want to thank you again, Father, that you'd give us wisdom. And Lord, that you would be in our midst this morning, Father, giving us understanding. Lord, that you'd help us have power, Father, to accomplish your will. And Lord, that you'd send forth laborers into the harvest, Father. Help us to train those you've given to our charge, Father, that they might prepare themselves, Lord, to be messengers for thee, O Lord. Again, we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to Luke chapter 7. Verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. I'm going to stop here just for a moment. This man, John, didn't come with a big degree. This man, John, didn't come with a big promotion. He just came with the Word of God. And it caused quite a stir. People didn't know who he was or where he came from. And he said of himself, he was just a voice crying in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare ye the way for the Lord." John, or Jesus, called this man a prophet because he was saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He was a messenger of God. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the path. Fill in the gaps. Level the hills." He was a bulldozer and an excavator. He was making a flat pad to build something great on. The kingdom of God. And he had a purpose and a job. And that purpose was to move the dirt and to clear a path so that the kingdom could be built on the earth. There had to be a way prepared for the Lord. The message that we have, you must change to be accepted by Christ, is the message. And when people cry out, "What must I do?" then we can give them instruction. We try to point the way to the Lord so that we can give them instruction to those who will hear it, to those who justify God being baptized with the baptism of John. They heard him speak. They heard the stirring of the light that was coming to the world. That John the Baptist came preaching about, saying that, "I'm not that light. I'm not that one. But there's one coming that is that light. Prepare yourself to meet him." And some people began to hear, and they cried out, "What must I do?" The soldiers cried out, "Well, what must we do being soldiers?" And the practical advice that John gave them: "Do harm to no man. Be content with your wages." The others cried out, "What must we do?" And he just laid out some simple advice for them to do. How many do you think heard those voice, that voice, and saw that glimmer of light there, so that they could prepare, do their part in preparing this place? Jesus said, this was a great prophet, and there's never been a greater one. But yet in the kingdom of God, the least would be greater than he. We have a clearer understanding of what the kingdom is through the teachings of Christ. And our responsibility is to build on that foundation. That's what makes it greater. We can build on His foundation that He laid so that we can go right on. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another and saying, we've piped unto you and you have not danced. We've mourned unto you and ye have not wept. These pipers, when they would pipe and the people would hear the music, well, they would just start dancing. They'd start tapping their foot, maybe, to the music that the pipers were piping, because they heard it. Because that light that was from the very beginning, a remnant of it, shone or sparked or just a flash, twinkled. And they heard it, or they saw it, and they moved towards it. Because they saw there was a light there. They heard the piper playing the music. The world scurried by, but someone heard, hey, that's a nice little tune. And they stopped. They heard the truth. And they stopped and heard it. Pretty soon their foot was tapping. And maybe their hands were clapping. The next thing, they were just outright dancing to the piper's music. In this case, they were hearing God. And they began to put it into practice in their life. And they began to grow. And it grew and grew and grew. And now we have the opportunity to take that right on. They were paid to be pipers. He's talking about men who are called to be preachers. Men who are called to take the kingdom of God out into the world. Do you hear the music? Do you hear the piper? Are you going to dance to his call? Or are you just going to scurry on by? We've piped unto you, Jesus said. We've given you the word. And you went right on by. That music is going to be playing on the judgment day. And we'll remember when we heard that music playing. And we'll remember. remember our response to that music. We'll remember when we saw that flash of light. And we'll remember how we responded. And oh, for so many, that's going to be a painful, painful, painful memory that will never leave. People say to us when we're preaching, well, what good are you doing? Where is this? You know, how many souls have you led to the Lord? We're the light. We're not trying to gather people into buildings so that we can collect revenue from them or put another notch in our belt. We're the light. And when we stand on Judgment Day before the Lord will bring us up time and time again before someone. And that someone will say, well, Lord, where were you at? What did you do to help me? And the Lord will bring someone to that, one of us maybe, to his in front of him and say, you remember whenever this person warned you about what you were doing? Oh, you mean that fool, that idiot, tried to restrain the way I live. Yeah, that's the one. I was piping unto you and you wouldn't dance. I was trying to shine a light to you and you wouldn't see it. Right there was me trying to warn you. And you missed it. I sent someone to you. And you missed it. And woe unto us if that one comes up and says, well, wait a minute, Lord. Nobody came to me. Nobody piped for me. Nobody, there wasn't anybody there. And the Lord calls up whoever was supposed to be there and said, why weren't you there? Why didn't you speak that word where you were supposed to speak it? Why weren't you there? I didn't hear the music. Maybe someone was supposed to be piping for that person. And there was no one there. And maybe it goes back several generations of people who weren't there. Just look out at the people there's just gangs of young people roaming around the streets in Springfield. Some of the most degenerate, unthankful, unholy, wicked, vile, You can't even imagine until you see it. Young people, 12, 10, 13, 14, 25, some of them old even, and they have no concept of right or wrong. None. No foundation. You can't even begin to talk with them about God. Because whatever they've had has been pure poison. Somebody didn't hear the music. Maybe several generations. Just because someone, somewhere, let down their place. Maybe their place was just a little small place. But they walked right on by the music and didn't do it. Maybe it wasn't being a preacher. Maybe it was just someone being a mother that was trying to instill the fear of God in their children. Maybe she'd rather be their buddy than be their mother. And that child missed it. And that child went on and started a family, and his family was further and further and further away. Because someone missed the piper. Someone missed the light. Maybe it was just a little flash of lightning. Watching the lightning coming home last night. And it just lights up the sky for a moment, and it's gone. Just a little flash. What's there is amazing. Then once in a while you're looking at just the right time and you see it. And it just goes all the way across the sky or down and hits the ground. Jesus, the light, came into the world. The music is playing. The Son of Man is for John the Baptist, verse 33. Came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. They try to find a way. They don't have to listen. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. The ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." How many in that crowd did he say that to? One person. You know, we tend to think that Simon was among those forgiven because he forgave one that was really thankful and one that wasn't so thankful. He frankly forgave them both. But who actually received it? Jesus only says the woman. He only told the woman that she was forgiven. He looked at Simon and said, "You didn't do nothing for me." But the woman knew who he was. She heard that piper piping. She saw that little flicker of light in him. She heard something. There's something right about what he's saying. And it drew her to him. And the more she realized, the more music she heard, the more she danced. till she was washing his feet with her tears. Drying them off with her hair. If we love the Lord and we hear His voice, it's going to cause us to love Him and to do what pleases Him and to want to be right at His feet doing whatever it takes. And after we're there a while and we've washed His feet, we've anointed Him, and we've done what we're supposed to be doing, He might just look down and say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." But He told her that after she had heard the music and she responded to it. He didn't start off there and then start working on her on the inside out. Somewhere there was a chord that began to vibrate, and she heard it and was drawn to it. A chord of our Creator that had been broken. And it began to whisper a little vibration. Listen for that. So pitiful. So pitiful. That some of the people that we run into that someone hasn't come along and strengthened that chord somewhere so that we could hear it. So that they could hear it. It just seems that there isn't even a string of anything of that chord left. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, as we go out and preach, I think one of the things that we miss whenever people come up to us and they begin to say that we're so negative, that we're haters, and they curse and swear at us. That's the church people, by the way. The church people, the evangelicals. They hate the Word of God. They hate it when they see to marry the divorced is adultery. They hate it when they see that women should be meek and quiet. They hate it when they see that men should love their enemies. They hate it when they see that we shouldn't lay up our treasures in this world. You know, I think where we go wrong is instead of trying to prove something to them, we ought to get it in our mind. Why do you hate that which is good so bad? Why do you hate that which is good so much? What's wrong with a pure marriage? What's wrong with it? Why are you so against it? What's wrong with a young lady that would cover herself, that would dress completely different than this wicked world? What's wrong with that? You're calling good evil and evil good. What's wrong with loving your enemies? What's wrong with being happy, with having nothing? What's wrong with that? Not one thing. Those are good things. And it just baffles me sometimes how people think and how they are so twisted in their minds to think those are bad things that we shouldn't be telling people about. These are good things. They're not bad things. They're not mean things. These are good things to show people. Your women should be meek and quiet and covered. What's wrong with that? You're throwing them out there as a piece of meat to sell a bottle of Coke or a tire or something like that, to make a whore out of them. And you say you're being kind to them because you're letting them have their filthy way? The young lady we talked to said she was called to be bold for the Lord. Some pointy head theologian probably come along and prophesied over her and told her, you're going to do great things for God. You're going to be a mighty warrior for God. And she's got in her head, now she's going to be a great preacher somewhere for God and be bold for Him. Well, she still took time to listen a little bit the other night. Praise the Lord. She listened long enough to be able to try to show us what the Bible said was required of a woman. and how that a woman of great value to God was a woman that didn't decorate herself on the outside to make herself look beautiful, but she focused herself on a meek and quiet spirit. She said, well, what about being bold? And I said, why don't you think of it this way? Why don't you be bold for God the way He wants you to be bold? It'll take a lot more boldness to be a godly, meek, and quiet woman than it will be for you to run your loud mouth. Anybody can do that. She said, well, the men won't do it. So two wrongs don't make it right. That some, but it got clearer after I came home. But she did listen. I was blessed with that. What's wrong with you being bold for Jesus the way He wants you to be bold? Not in your own imagination of being bold. It takes courage. It takes guts. To be what God wants you to be. It takes courage to get back up after you've been knocked down over and over and over again. And to climb back up again. And to keep on climbing. Be what you need to be. Be what God wants you to be. Anybody can go along with this world. Anybody can do that. And it goes nowhere but down. It leads nowhere but to that other group of young people on the street that have no respect for themselves, no respect for their friends, no respect for their family, and they'll never have respect for a mate. Because all they care about is themselves and surviving themselves. But there's a few people that there's a little flicker of light. Build on that flicker of light. Everyone in this room everyone in this room. Is heading down a path, and everyone in this room will have someone that's following them somewhere along the way. You're either blazing a trail of death and destruction, running away from light and truth, and you may never see the fruit of what's going to happen, what the way you live is going to be produced until you stand before God on Judgment Day. And you see the path of destruction that you left behind you. And how many people turned aside. And as that degenerated into the gangs, of young people that have no direction, no hope, don't care for it, don't want it, maybe somebody five generations before them laid the foundation for them being where they're at. Thoughtlessly caring for nothing and nobody but themselves. On the other hand, maybe there's some decision that you're hearing the Lord call, you're hearing the piper rebuke you, and instead of running from that, you yield yourself to it. You may never see one iota of anything good in this life. But somebody, somewhere is watching. And five generations from now, there will be people that may rise up on the judgment day and call you blessed for the least thing that you can imagine. Have you just taken the courage to be what God wants you to be? This woman wept at Jesus' feet for just a little while. She anointed his feet for just a little while. Thousand years later, we're still talking about it. It took courage for her to go into that room of those religious people, those Pharisees. It took courage for her just to lay aside all of her ambitions and all of everything, just to weep at this man's feet. But her love for the Lord overcame all of that. She laid down everything she had. Even some of the apostles mocked. Said she was being wasteful. Judas did anyway, the thief. Love that which is right. Don't be afraid of it. Love to be bold for the Lord. That doesn't mean having a loud mouth. That means love to do what's right and not be ashamed of it. Love to do what's right. Love that which is good and hate that which is evil. And do what's right with boldness. And shun evil for wickedness. Hate it. Run from it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Be glad that we can promote that which is good. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't let them convince you that you're being mean. Love that which is good. Praise the Lord. Father, we just come again before you and thank you, God, for your words. We just ask your blessing upon them, Father. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Though we may stumble and fall, help us rise up again and keep fighting the good fight of faith, Lord. Help us hear your voice. Check it, Father, with your word and with the brethren. Follow after it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.